Welcome back belatedly, everybody, to Hoops HD for our very first ever Sunday night Under the Radar podcast.
I've been here since Thursday, Chad.
I know, but
no
David
one told me it was canceled, Chad. I've just been waiting here for 4 days.
I'll take the blame. I was a bit under the weather the last few days, so we've postponed Under the Radar. It's a very short week ahead, so we're kind of doing a 2 weeks in 1 week show here. This will be our Under the Radar covering last week, and as well as this upcoming week. Does that make any sense?
No, but let's go.
I'm sure this had nothing to do with your trip to Delaware last Monday.
Oh, yeah, trip to Delaware.
I did. I went to Delaware. It was a great time there. I got to, give a fist bump to the Delaware State Hornet and eat some cold pizza. It was
a blast. Cold pizza. All right.
Cold pizza.
Yeah. Which may or may not have made you ill.
Maybe that's what I could say.
Yeah.
Hey, cold pizza's better than no pizza. That's all I got to say. Anyhow, no, it was a great game, but let's get into Under the Radar. And Sleeka, it's your turn. Tell us what it means to be under the radar.
Well, first of all, under the radar means you are in a single-bid league. You are not in the regular multi-bid leagues like the Power 5 conferences or other leagues like the Big East, the Atlantic 10, the American, the Mountain West, and the West Coast Conference. And the second qualifier is you cannot be a member of the top 25.
And as of right now, nobody is in the top 25 from those other 22 conferences. That might change very soon as we do have an undefeated team.
Yeah,
these 22.
A couple of teams inching close to it, and we'll get to that as we get through the show. So yesterday, a big day, we saw a great game between Ohio State, Kentucky. We saw like Dayton and Colorado in an overtime thriller. What else did we see yesterday? A lot of good action.
None of those games matter.
We're not talking about any of them tonight.
You want to hear about the match? You come back tomorrow night, Monday night. We'll be recording our regular Hoops HD report. But let's get right to it. And we like to start with a feature conference. And this week's feature conference, it's the two-weeker. I think it's good time to go with what I believe is, at the end of the day, is going to be the best under-the-radar conference of them all, and that is the SoCon, who had a hell of a last couple of weeks as well to go along with that.
Yeah.
And do we have it up there on the screen? Did it work?
Yeah, it's up there. And
we got to talk about the scores that are up there. Wofford's win over North Carolina predated the last 7 days, but that East Tennessee State's win at LSU, Greensboro's very nice road win at Vermont, Wofford's not-so-good performance at Duke, but
even Western Carolina looked good against Xavier for about 25 to 30 minutes before fading off.
Yeah, but
kind of surprised. If there's a surprise team in this league, it's the Catamounts, Western Carolina.
Yeah.
Furman, East Tennessee State, and UNC Greensboro, I think we were all expecting to be good. It wouldn't shock us if one of those teams landed inside the bubble, especially when you look at the kind of year East Tennessee State is having.
You got top 70 net ratings on two of those teams. You've got double-digit net readings for all three of them for all these other metrics. Great metrics across the board on the top of the conference here.
Right, and if that game against LSU were still going on, had the horn not sounded, East Tennessee State would be leading by about 200 by now.
Well, but if you ask East Tennessee State fans, though, this one was long overdue because they've had impressive games against Creighton and Xavier where they've gotten out to double-digit leads in years past but were unable to hold on. So getting some roadkill at LSU, definitely deserved.
Yeah, I want to pull both those profiles here, especially look at that Greensboro profile on the right, and that is a throwaway, that Montana State loss, which was on a heartbreaking buzzer beater. Yeah. But you turn around and say, hey, the NC State loss was also a heartbreaking buzzer beater, and you give them a little couple passes for those, and that's a hell of a resume on the right side of the screen there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And again, I've never seen a team lose two games on half court shot. Not just buzzer beaters, Chad. These were beyond half-court shot buzzer beaters in both of them. And then, you know, this is a really good team. They had a lead in, at Kansas at halftime, I think, or at least late in the first half before Kansas kind of blew it open. And, they had the really nice win at Georgetown, a Georgetown team that's at a lot of higher strengths. But the problem is this good enough if they end up dropping a few in conference? And as good as this league is, you know, you got to go to East Tennessee. You got to go to Wofford. You got to go to West Carolina. Excuse me. You got to go to Furman. Oh God, I just confused Furman and Wofford in there.
Well, Wofford, Wofford did beat Carolina on the road, so hey, yeah. Wofford can play.
Unfortunately, yeah. for Greensboro, we have to take into consideration that Georgetown had a full roster back then. It wasn't the depleted roster with which they're winning now.
Yeah, so it was the worst Georgetown team they've
played. Right, yeah, because they hadn't depleted their roster.
Now, yet. We've got something else very interesting going on here. Coming up over the holiday break, Mars Hill and William Peace.
Kind of just wish they would have found someone else to play.
You know, the worst part, looking at East Tennessee State and left there, that's going to be their third non-D1 opponent this year.
Right.
Very, very disappointing for a team that we thought was going to be good this season, that's the best they could put together.
Right.
And that's, you know, and unless they run away with this conference in the regular season, you know, they may be fighting to even stay on the at-large board because of that.
And again, they're going to have to kind of run away from it the way Wofford did last year. Now, Wofford was four lines inside the bubble last year. I don't know if East Tennessee State's going to be that good, but both these teams and really all three of them are really good.
Yeah, let's take a quick look at the other two teams at the top of the standings here. Western Carroll. Sorry, Furman on the left there, first of all, doesn't have the marquee win like the LSU road win, the Georgetown road win. Western Carolina with even less atops in terms of the strengths of their wins. And they're more
Furman
of a
– not always bringing it – real disappointing losses really against Alabama and South Florida. I think they're better than both those teams or should be. The one game that they kind of got away from was that Auburn game where they had a double-digit lead in the second half. It whittled away. It went into overtime. I mean, probably the best they played all year, but they couldn't get the win. So, you know, when you look at their resume – they haven't had a lot of chances. The three they've had, they came up short kind of in all three of them.
And even
in the case of a team like Western Carolina, I could excuse the schedule a little bit because they had only won, I think it was six games all of last year. And this year they're already up to 71 wins and actually look respectable in two of their three losses.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not going to fault Western Carolina for the schedule because this is not a team that anybody seriously thought heading into the season was going to be a contender for that large bid. But I think I do have to fault the other three, especially with Greensboro having just missed the field last year, that they should have looked like, hey, we may have a shot at at-large bid. What can we do?
Yeah.
And scheduling multiple non-D1 opponents is not the way to do it.
Right. And I realize, well, that nobody plays them. And that is not entirely untrue. But look at all the teams that have that same problem. We're going to talk about a lot of teams, Liberty, who we thought was going to be good, New Mexico State, who actually did play kind of a tough schedule and has been suffering with injuries, but Western Kentucky, another one. There are other teams that are in their situation that they could have played that would have helped them out a lot more than just playing non-D1 opponents.
As you can see, upcoming this week, there's absolutely nothing. They're all playing non-D1 opponents. That Citadel-NC State game was actually tonight. That game is already went final. Yeah. NC State did win that game. Just didn't get updated as of the time we started this. But I guess on that note, why don't we go back to some other conferences?
Yeah.
Let's go to the America East.
Let's go to the America East.
And Sleeka, you want to start off with the America East, which had a lot of red this week, including Greensboro, who we just spoke about, winning at Vermont, among other losses that this conference.
That would have been the most noteworthy loss right there. But even then, you look at teams like Stony Brook and New Hampshire. New Hampshire actually got off to a decent start against UConn before they got blown out of the water. But Stony Brook, on the other hand, they were able to get a win at American after dropping a game on the road against Virginia. So no shame in that.
Right. We are we're to a point now, and it's almost here, is that anything that happens before the start of conference play is just window dressing. This is a one-bid league. Vermont's lost too many games. They and Stony Brook are the only two teams with winning D1 records. This is a one-bid league, and anything that happens this week that isn't a conference game, it almost doesn't matter.
Yeah, it almost about the only game I would know is coming up next Sunday night here. That's on a – I guess that's December 29th. The longest road trip, I believe, in the history of Division I with teams playing at their home that did not involve some type of neutral court, David.
Yeah.
I don't think you can go further than from Maine to Hawaii, can you?
I don't think you can. No, you really can't. I think that is the long – I think those two schools are as far apart as anyone.
So –
We have to get Anchorage into D1 and send either FIU or some school in Miami up to Alaska.
I don't think that'll make it either. I think it's further to go out to Hawaii than
And I just got to say, for Maine, that is a long bus ride.
let's go to the Atlantic Sun, and let's talk about this Liberty team, because they are now up to 14-0, having collected their second piece of hardware of the season. They won their exempt event earlier in the year. Now they won the DC Holiday Hoop Fest over the weekend.
Yeah,
a dominating performance against what I thought was a pretty good Akron team in the finals.
They really were. This is a good Liberty team, and kind of what we had said earlier. If you pull them up here, you kind of wish they would have done a little more to test themselves, to try and build up that resume. Now it may end up being good enough, because if you look at it, once it loads, it takes a second. They've got LSU. They're at LSU.
That's their marquee game of the season now.
And that's a week from tonight. It's a winnable game. I don't know if I'm saying that they will win it or that they should win it, but they're certainly good enough to win it. And then after that, they're not playing anybody that is within 100 miles of the NIT the rest of the way. I don't think they're going to lose. They might. There's a better chance, in my opinion, that they win every game by double digits than there is of them losing after the LSU game. And I guess the question is, whether they beat LSU or not, this is a team, and you know how rankings work. It's sort of you can move up by default, even though they're beating sub CIT teams for the most part. They're going to creep up and up and up in the rankings, and where are they going to be at the end of the year? And is their bloated record alone enough to land them inside the bubble? It's a rare case.
Let me throw a hypothetical at you here, David. Yeah. Let's assume they lose the LSU game.
Okay.
Let's assume they then win every single remaining game in the regular season, but get upset somewhere along the line in the conference tournament, maybe even the conference tournament final.
Yeah.
They're going to be sitting there without a Tier 1 or Tier 2 victory on the season, but only one loss.
Yeah.
There's only three games they can play the remainder in conference schedule that can even be Tier 3, much less Tier 4.
Right, but the question is, with that resume, with having not been anybody in either of the top two tiers, do you really deserve an at-large bid?
I don't know. And is it going to come down to just the resume? Is the NABC rankings going to factor in? Now, we did see it was a while ago. I mean, it was over 10 years ago. The Davidson Elite 8 team did not have a top 100 win, and they landed on the 10 line. I want to say Siena got a 9 seed 1 year when they only had three top 80 wins.
Now, what I will give them credit for is the win at Vanderbilt and the win they got yesterday in Akron both have a good shot at ending up being in the Tier 2 group. Those are both just a few points off of Tier 2 right now.
But it's what was George – and again, it was too long ago to really be relevant now, but I want to say George Washington got on the 8 line 1 year without really having beaten anyone.
That was 2006 when they ran the table in the 8-10 and promptly lost their first game in the conference tournament.
Right, but they at least beat a few NIT teams. Like that's a good case study, Chad, and the question is, I don't know.
I think they're in, but I think you're right. This could be a one-loss team or a two-loss team sitting on the 9 or the 10 line at the NCAA tournament.
Right. Now, they're good. If you ask me, do I think Liberty's a top 40 team, I think they are, regardless of you know the strength of their schedule or their profile. I mean, I think they are.
Top 40 is a 10 seed.
Yeah.
So,
I think they belong inside the bubble, but maybe not in the top half of it.
Here's the upcoming schedule in the conference. The Liberty LSU game is obviously the big game next Sunday. Stalika, let's keep things rolling along here over to the Big Sky, where I don't know what we want to discuss here, really, other than the fact that they tied the Summit League in the Big Sky Summit League Challenge Series.
In the meantime, good luck trying to find those games in there, but I would imagine Northern Colorado beating South Dakota would be one of those games.
This took about three or four weeks to play out, this whole series, so it's not all the games are on the screen there. The Omaha's big win over Montana got them got the Summit League to tie there, actually, on Saturday. But
at least that win and one other win by Northern Colorado at least put the Bears into the top 100 of the NET, so I suppose that's something.
David, should we just wait for conference play here?
I think so. Sac State's still a really good story, a team we didn't expect much out of that's looked pretty good, not just, against cupcakes, but
Well, there's the good news on the screen. It's conference play time for in the big sky. We're done with these non-conference play games. Right.
So, okay.
David, how about the Big South Conference?
Oh, how about it? I mean, all in all, it's Campbell's still a really good story. They're the only team with a winning D1 record. It's nice to see them still playing well despite the loss. Now,
how about the surprising Saves game, though? How about what Radford did to Richmond today, though?
Yeah, that I couldn't believe that. and I guess that's just typical Richmond for you.
Okay.
Richmond just couldn't wait to get away for the holidays.
Yeah, so they decided to just not show up today. But a really nice win for Radford. It's only their third D1 win. And again, do they have something going in the conference? Nobody in the league has really shown us much. I mean, Charleston Southern sort of had the notable somewhat win at Mizzou, and then you had Radford with the big win today.
And Winthrop with their win at St. Mary's.
So a few nuggets here, but as far as who do you like, I don't know. And, if this league is – if it's like it normally is, we'll be into the second half of conference play with about two games separating first and eighth place.
I don't like Bob Jones because they're already off to an 0-2 start in the Big South.
We have another week of non-conference play still of, a bunch of non-D1 games over this holiday week before we get into conference play. But, Stalika, how about the Big West Conference? Where Hawaii is actually going to be playing, I believe, later tonight in the first game. We're recording this around 8:30 here on Sunday evening. They've got the
That's actually going to be a critical game against UTEP because
huge
that's
game, yeah.
Yeah. They're going to. They always seem to manage at least one win in their own tournament and home. And we keep waiting for a team like Irvine, for example, to hit their stride, but they failed to win in the. Where they call it the Sun Belt Invitational over in El Paso. So they already had a loss to UTEP in that one after getting a decent win against Kent State.
Yeah, well, that Irvine turned around and lost to Illinois Chicago on Friday night. So that was another rough loss in this league here. And nobody has shown me anything yet here, David.
Right. I mean, Hawaii's shown that they can be a home court hero. That's about it. Santa Barbara doing okay. But
well, I guess, Hawaii's going to have a big shot here with the Diamond Head, actually.
Especially if they end up facing Washington or Houston or something like that. But all in all, it's, again, when does conference play start?
I don't see quite yet. I think we've got another week here.
Yeah, another
week away still. Let's Slika, let me ask you about the Colonial then. How about CAA with those Delaware Fighting Blue Hens off of the big win Monday night? Kind of slipped up a bit on Friday against Long Island, though.
Still a slightly bit of a bloated record, but at the same time, in Chad's neighborhood, at least Drexel ended up winning the Battle of the Boardwalk thanks to wins against Quinnipiac and Norfolk State. Unfortunately for Drexel, they would be in the still be in the middle of the pack right now, at least as far as the ratings would go.
Yeah, I gotta say go ahead.
If you're looking for a preseason favorite like Hofstra, for example, they did get wins against Manhattan and also Princeton on the road.
What I was going to say about this Delaware team, the game that I went to actually was the first game of the year for Dylan Painter, who was a transfer from Villanova. He had just missed being eligible to play in the Villanova game that they lost. But, he had a monster game, and there is a ton of firepower on this Delaware team. I believe they have now five or six guys that are averaging at or very close to double figures. They have a little bit of problems on the defensive end. They gave up a lot of points, but they're going to be fun to watch, and I think that they're going to be competitive all season long.
Mm-hmm.
They're still kind of my pick here, as even though I don't think that up by the numbers, they may quite be the favorites.
Yeah, I still kind of like this Hofstra team, even though that they've been disappointing at times.
I would say the real disappointing week came from Bill and Mary, though, losing at St. Joe's team and then losing today to St. Francis University.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't just lose. They lost to two really bad teams.
Conference play is starting next Saturday, though, so good news for Colonial fans. You'll be able to start seeing those games. We mentioned a little bit about UTEP, who's going to be playing Hawaii later tonight. They are in first place in Conference USA, David.
Yeah, still no wins away from home. Again, I don't know if that's a little bit of fool's gold. I still like this La Tech team,
I am liking them a lot better. I'm starting to they started to come around to me, even though they did have that bad slip up about a week and a half ago.
UAB kind of with a surprising win today, knocking off Duquesne, who had undefeated. Been undefeated. Yeah, so nice win for them. Western Kentucky still going through growing pains. But FIU, you know, they're kind of very respectable, 9-3 overall, 6-3 against D1. Do we need to start paying attention to them at all?
We might. I mean, the bad part about pay attention to FIU is we've got to look at their home floor, which is...
Yeah, which I'd really rather not do.
It's a work of art, I know.
Assault on the retinas is what it is. It is just...
I got to say, you know, Western Kentucky, I know 7-4 is decent, but maybe one of the most disappointing teams in the country, quite honestly. Obviously, Charles Bassey gone for the season killed him, but
I know.
Still had such high hopes for this team this year.
Right. And having said that all along, we knew that they have a tendency to not live up to expectations. So.
There's the remaining games coming up this week, including Duquesne getting another CUSA team coming up next Sunday there.
Yep. At Marshall. So,
John.
I also thought it was a bit odd that Duquesne would be playing back-to-back games, one being in Firestone High School and then 24 hours later down in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Yeah.
John, over in the Horizon League, your neck of the woods here, Wright State now looking like a better team off of that huge win on yesterday over Toledo, aren't they?
That win against Toledo was pretty big, and that was after they get a win against a guarantee opponent in Mississippi Valley State. NKU, on the other hand, they got waxed down in Greensboro, so that's going to put a little bit of separation between a Wright State team that's still not completely healthy yet, but they should have their star player Loudon Love back by the beginning of the new year, though.
Yeah, that'd be huge for Wright State. I think they could run away with this league, David.
Yeah, and we've talked about Wright State before. First of all, not being at full strength. Secondly, two of their three losses, one was by 1 point, one was by 2 points. Games that they kind of blew a little bit, and you kind of wonder if they run through this conference, where are they going to be? I mean, they could finish the season with 26 wins.
But I think that game against Indiana State is probably the biggest reason where they did end up missing Love.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if they don't lose again, we could start talking about them for an at-large bid, but I think you got to be on that type of borderline.
Yeah, right, yeah.
We do see some games coming up here, including the, you know, Detroit at Oakland, you know, the Battle of Michigan.
Yeah. It's a conference game, so we are into conference play. Yeah.
Okay, what are we up to? We're up to the Ivy League, and let's talk about what happened today with Yale going to Clemson and dominating that entire game, I thought, David.
Yeah, basically tipped the buzzer. You know, it was a high-scoring affair, 54-45, just an offensive explosion. Clemson's been kind of pitiful this year. You got to kind of wonder – what's going to be going on there. But, you know, Yale, they had the close loss to Penn State. They were right in there with Okie State. They were right, really, when you look at their losses, you kind of wish they would have at least gotten one or two of those because of how well they played in all those games. Clemson probably not enough in and of itself to put them into the bubble discussion. But this is a really good Yale team. Nobody else in the Ivy League. Penn's had a few moments.
But David, Yale has a chance to put themselves seriously in the bubble discussion coming up next weekend, don't they?
I mean, it's a hell of a tall order. They're playing NIT-ish North Carolina.
Right? Well, true. All they have to do is the same thing that Wofford did, and Wofford's not that good.
Right, yeah.
It's going to be too late for their at-large chances, but Harvard is starting to warm up a little bit. They were at least a little smarter in terms of how they're scheduled, because at least if you're going to schedule back-to-back games on the road, at least make sure it's in the same city like BC where they can get GW and Howard back-to-back. But in all seriousness, this is typically what they're going to be doing in the Ivy League anyhow, except those are Friday-Saturday games as opposed to Saturday-Sunday like this weekend.
Yeah. I got it for the quick moment here. We mentioned Wofford a few times tonight already. Wofford, obviously, as we said, 1-1 at North Carolina. It's got to go a little above the radar. Give a shout-out to Gonzaga fans who, in the course of their beating up on North Carolina last week,
yes,
started one of the greatest chants I've ever heard where they started chanting, "We want Wofford."
Yeah. Yeah,
it's classic. It's
soon to be number one Gonzaga and will most likely remain number one for a very long time.
Take a look at what's coming up. There's not much, I don't believe, coming up this week among Ivy League teams. Brown at Duke, Harvard is at Cal. So there's
that's a winnable game for Harvard, not because
I thought you were going to say Duke. All right, Cornell at Penn State. David, Metro Atlantic. Been a couple of years since we've paid any serious attention to Metro Atlantic this early because they've had a few lousy off seasons. But there's finally somebody that's starting to catch my eye here in this Rider team.
Yeah, Rider out to a 7-3 overall start, looking pretty good this week again. Not much from anybody else. I mean, I still kind of think that once we get in the league play, Iona's going to kick it in the gear. Iona not playing very much lately.
Only six games.
Yeah, so I guess they're going to be busy over Christmas. But I like both Ryder, and I think Iona is still going to be in the picture once the conference.
There must be a clause in Tim Klus's contract that forbids him from playing non-D1 games, so I at least applaud him for taking a stand there.
Yeah.
They're actually out at Colorado next weekend. Ryder's going to have the week off for the holidays. John, Mid-American Conference is, if the SoCon isn't going to be the top conference, best conference top to bottom among these under the radars, then it's going to be the MAC, in my opinion, because this conference has some pretty decent numbers and pretty decent records to begin
this. It has some decent numbers, but let's be honest, this was a disappointing weekend. We already mentioned Toledo losing at home to Wright State. Bowling Green laid a pair of eggs Chad's neighborhood, though, against Norfolk State, and then Quinnipiac and fourth overtime.
Fourth place in a four-team event. Very, very badly for Bowling Green.
And then the MAC, really bad about getting these streams up, over Christmas. It's like the teams and the departments just take off. And now
Akron was – go ahead.
I got to throw a shout out here to one other team, Eastern Michigan, with a gaudy 9-2 overall record, played Michigan State and only lost by 53 points. This is not a good Eastern Michigan team.
No,
it's not a good sign when both Hoiberg's son and Izzo's son are both on the floor at the end of the game for Michigan State.
It's never good when you're in a situation where you can go on a 40-0 run and still be down by double digits.
I do still like this Kent State team, although they lost to Irvine. I do still like this Akron team, despite the Liberty loss. But, it was like John said, I think he's dead on. This was a bad week for the MAC.
Yeah, it really was.
As far as the week ahead in this conference, is there anything coming up at all? I guess
Ball State out at the Diamond Head.
Yep.
Yeah. But other than that, no.
Western Michigan, who is a lot worse than Eastern Michigan, is playing Michigan State. That's going to be about a 100-point loss and things.
Probably go. So, yes.
The MEAC. John, I know this is one of your favorite leagues. You've been following it closely. What you got for us?
Well, I'm still looking at a team like Coppin State, who's still hanging at four D1 wins. But we have to shout out to Florida A&M this week for finally getting off the schneid with a
hell of a road trip. A hell of a road trip there. We want to talk road trips from Florida A&M all the way out to Seattle when picking up a road win by 14 points. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of basketball still to be played here, but when you look at Delaware State and those metrics, they are 350 or worse in all but one of them. Maryland Eastern Shore, kind of like, that's a little too good.
I saw Delaware State play this week. I think this team is going to win some games when they get out of the bye game season. I think they've got.
Just one can kill your centenary chances.
I don't think it's going to be Delaware State on the centenary award list. That's all I got to say. As far as the upcoming,
it's going to be tough to catch a team like Holy Cross that we'll get into later.
A few more road trips this week, including A&T going to Illinois and Morgan State all the way out at Loyola Marymount, finishing up the bye games.
Right.
David.
Yes.
Missouri Valley Conference. Let's talk seriously about this team at the top of this league.
I love this Northern Iowa team. The one game that they lost is a game that they really could have won. They went to Colorado and won. We saw what Colorado did over the weekend. When you look at that West Virginia game,
they beat South Carolina. You know what South Carolina did to
beat South Carolina. But all in all, this is legitimately a good team. When you look at what else they have remaining, we're on the eve of conference play. I could see them going 16-2, 17-1. And is this a team that you could see kind of start to sneak up and get into the rankings by the end of the season?
I think this team could be on the – in the rankings in the next 2 or 3 weeks. This is they were, let me go back to the screen here. In terms, they were getting votes in last week's poll, 36th and 37th. I think 2 or 3 weeks they could be in there, John.
This is not the script that we've seen from Northern Iowa in recent years, because it's always seemed to be where they would make some noise in their exempt tournament season and go into hibernation for December and January, and then just come out of hibernation looking like world beaters just prior to NCAA tournament time. They're kind of like the anti-McDermott that the puppet likes to speak about.
I got to give, if you're a Missouri Valley Conference fan, you only got to spend 2 hours to watch every single game involving the MVC over the next 7 days. So there we go. One game.
Yeah, OVC just taking is just home for the holidays. Goodness.
All right. Let's go to Northeast Conference. Where this is another league that really we tried to wait for conference play here, but I don't know. Is there anything else that we saw out of this conference this week that made us stand up at all? I guess Long Island, nice win over Delaware.
Well, yeah, not, Long Island getting the win over Delaware kind of made you stand up, because Delaware had the bloated record, but, you know, not really a whole lot else. Dartmouth, I know we already talked about the Ivy League, got out to kind of a quick start to kind of back down the earth now, Bryant, while, you know, a winning D1 record, but this is something we're not used to seeing, Chad. We got three teams currently with winning D1 records before conference play.
And two more teams that are just game shy of it.
One being Merrimack, who's transitional. So,
So we may be in store for a better NEC season than normal. We still got another batch of non-conference games to go, including Merrimack with the shot to beat BU at home and get to that 500 mark.
Yeah. And Central Connecticut, well, we just love them. But every season in the Northeast Conference is a great season once conference play starts.
Yes.
I feel like I just got my under-the-radar game of the day for Saturday, though.
Yeah.
Centenary of New Jersey?
Pretty much.
That's not Centenary of Louisiana. That's a different
Centenary. Yeah, that's a different one. That's not the
still
Centenary.
Still a Centenary works. Alert.
John, the Ohio Valley Conference Belmont is now up there. Tennessee State also up there, Rocco from bracketeer.org and I are both looking at that team a little bit a couple weeks ago, but not much that this conference did at all this week, quite honestly.
Not this week. Belmont missed the boat to get a decent win down in Huntsville against Alabama, where Alabama controlled that game for most of the time. And Tennessee State, they've been much improved, but by the same token, they just had a non-D1 win this week against the Blue Mountain College.
Yeah, and they lost Indiana State, but I don't know what else to say about the Ohio Valley. Dave, you want to see what's coming on next week in the conference?
If anybody's going to be at all nationally relevant, I think it's going to be Belmont. They go to Western Kentucky, another team that's kind of been disappointing.
That's one of the more interesting games that I see coming up this week, actually, though, in terms of these games that we've been looking at. Go ahead.
Right, but kind of a disappointing season. I mean, we knew that there would be some regression from last year, but I don't think they're going to get two teams into the dance, and certainly no one that's in a position to likely win a game, unless Belmont really catches fire and can play their way onto the 13 or 14 or into a situation that might be manageable. I know you're big on East Tennessee State, but like we have just covered everybody that's above 500 in the league.
Tennessee State.
Yeah. Or excuse me, Tennessee State. Yeah.
I'm big on East Tennessee State also, but that's for that team. I think can play its way into the
field. Right. They can.
Patriot League, Lafayette, who went and pulled a Seton Hall by falling down 17-0 to Rutgers to start the game today and got their asses kicked. But other than that, they have looked pretty good.
Yeah, they have. So has Colgate. So has Loyola at times. But particularly Lafayette and Colgate have looked pretty good out of this league. Holy Cross has not.
Holy Cross somehow has one D1 win. I forget who they even beat. Stalika, you got that for us?
I do not.
Okay. Right, we have to pull up Holy Cross's team sheet now, because we can't leave people hanging not knowing who Holy Cross beat.
Yeah, it was, drum roll,
Mercer.
Mercer,
back on December 2nd.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. It was away from home, too, at a neutral court, but I still think they've got a shot at the Centenary Award.
Well, they get major Centenary points for losing at home to the Beacons of UMass Boston.
Yes, major points for losing to those Beacons. upcoming week here in the Patriot League, we've got a few interesting games, including a cross-town rivalry there between American and Georgetown.
Yeah, it is teams good. From the same city playing each other.
It is really good to see teams from the same city play each other. You know who doesn't do that, David?
Well, yeah, who doesn't do that? I thought everybody did that.
Well, how about Incarnate Word? From our very next conference here, the Southland Conference, Incarnate Word does not play the only other D1 team.
You're kidding.
In its city. They do not play UT San Antonio.
So they don't play? There's no battle for the Alamo.
They have never played since Incarnate Word started the transition to D1. We have had a battle for the Alamo.
I'm kind of speechless. I did not realize that.
Something needs to be done. How do we fix
New Orleans and Tulane play, I believe.
I believe they do play.
Yeah, and you look at Texas A&M Corpus. Well, there's not another D1 team in Corpus Christi, but if there were, I bet they'd play.
I bet they would.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sort of unheard of here. In all seriousness, SFA, if they run the table, are they inside the bubble? I think they are, and I think they're good enough to do that.
We also got to give a shout out here to Houston Baptist. I believe they're the lone remaining winless D1 team, but winless.
Baptist and Central Connecticut.
Oh, Central Connecticut. Yes. Sorry. Two teams that are winless against any competition.
Right. And I believe part of their competition included Houston and Rice.
Yeah.
I think we probably will have Houston Baptist as the only winless team because Central Connecticut actually has a winnable game against Connecticut College this upcoming weekend.
Yeah. Stalika, how about this SFA team, though, in all seriousness? They have a win at Duke. Both their losses are road losses against power conference teams that are tier one losses. All you've got left is conference play. And other than the Duke win, it's all going to be probably tier four, not even tier three.
This is probably the schedule we honestly wish a team like Liberty would have played because at least it could have taken one major swing for the fences. And we could also be saying, okay, you go to a team like Arkansas State, decent win. Duke, a really good win. By the same token, if I'm Liberty, would they have lost to both Rutgers and Alabama as well? Would they have won at least one of those games?
Well, I think the question, though, is you know, if SFA pretty much runs the table until their conference tournament, maybe one loss from here the rest of the way out, can they get inside the bubble?
I think they can. I think the win against Duke is that good.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's a big difference between them having that win against Duke, which is only one, and a team like Liberty that doesn't have one. I think one is infinitely more than zero. I think that game made the difference. Now, again, they have a razor-thin margin for error. We're talking you better win out or not lose more than one. But if they do that, I think they're in.
It also helps that conferences like the Pac-12 and even the SEC are going to remain down a little bit. So you're not going to see a horde of bids coming out of conferences like those.
Well, that's a good point, John, though. You know, whether or not there is a spot for a team like this in that large bid is going to determine in part on how many other conferences, you know, are taking bids for the power.
Right. But as long as they run the table, which they're certainly good enough to do, I don't think they should be punished for winning conference games when they've already shown that they can beat a team like Duke.
This league started sub-conference play already. They're taking a bit of a break from conference play for the holiday week here, although everybody, there's some bye games that they're going to be playing on the road against some power conference teams. But let's roll over to the SWAC. There's a lot of red there, but we did see Jackson State and Alabama A&M both come up with D1 wins.
Yeah, how about Alabama A&M winning three games already this year?
We're now up to a dozen D1 wins for this conference.
Yes, we are.
Non-conference play. That's a pretty good number for the league.
Yeah,
we also saw a team like Texas Southern. They came pretty close to hitting the daily double against Oregon because let's not forget the Tigers actually did win up in Eugene last year, and they were up, I think, by as many as 10 or 11 points up in the woods, but were unable to hold on this time around.
Yeah, and it's going to be fun to see what Alabama A&M can do in conference. This was one of the worst teams in the SWAC and in the nation. For them to be off to kind of the start that they have, or things might be turning around for them, and once they start playing against their weight class, what are they going to do in this league? It might be kind of fun to see.
Yeah, I agree with you. The other team, Prairie View, to keep an eye on. If you look at some of the predictive metrics, they have some of the best numbers. So that's a team that, you know, might start moving up, and they dominated this league last year.
If you're yeah, right. They did.
Upcoming schedule this week, we still have another week of bye games, including Mississippi Valley at Cal Baptist, Texas Southern at Arizona State. You never know. They almost
That's beat a dangerous up. Game.
Alabama A&M up at Notre Dame.
Yeah. John, Summit League. Now, a couple of bits of news here. As I mentioned, they tied the Big Sky. They also beat the WAC in the Summit League WAC Challenge 5-3.
Yep, but by the same token, if you're looking at a team like South Dakota, who is favored, they had a bit of a stumble at home against Kansas City, which is
big-time loss at home to Kansas City.
Not good for the Yotes, but it is good if you're a fan of Billy Donlin and the Ruse, though.
They lost to Northern, coming off a loss to Northern Colorado, then a loss to Kansas City. It's
not a good week.
I'm not high on them as much as I was.
Not at all, really.
I mean, maybe kind of a team here. They're way down the bottom here, but this Omaha team might be a team.
Yeah, kind of hitting their stride here after getting off to a really bad start.
Nice win over Montana.
Yeah, starting to string together some wins here and at the right time. So.
Well, we're heading towards conference play. This week ahead, we've got we got conference play starting. Look at that.
Yeah.
Omaha hosting South Dakota State in a pretty big conference matchup there.
Yeah. So, and again, that is a big one.
And over in the Sun Belt.
We have to say it.
Go ahead, Salika.
We have to say it. Appalachian State, under new head coach Dustin Kearns, they had a hot, hot, hot weekend with wins against South Alabama and Troy
on the road. To start off 2-0 on the road in this conference, that's huge. That's a lot bigger lead, better than anybody else did, I think, in this conference.
And they came back from double digits to get the win against Troy, I believe.
Yeah, already noticeable division with half the league being 2-0, the other half being 0-2.
You look at the fact that App State's two wins are both road wins against decent teams. I hate to say it, Salika, but I think this App State team may be for real this year.
Yep, at least they had one good weekend, but now we're also going to have a lot of questions about a team like South Alabama, where we had the preseason expectations and they laid a pair of eggs at home this weekend because Coastal Carolina also got them.
What about Arkansas State?
Arkansas State, they did continue to impress thanks to wins against Louisiana as well as UL Monroe.
Okay. Upcoming this week in the Sun Belt, we've got Georgia State's at SMU. Georgia Southern's at Georgia, so a couple interesting game there maybe.
Yep.
Appy State is at NC State, so if they're really for real, that could be a big test next Sunday. Mm-hmm. The last conference is the Western Athletic Conference, David. Maybe it's time to start paying some serious attention again to this New Mexico State team off of a very nice win. It wasn't on Mississippi State's home court. I think the game was played in Jackson.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Still a nice win for them. And you can't forget that this is a team that won 29 games a year ago, that took Auburn to the wall in the NCAA tournament, and that has most of those players back. It's just that they're all injured. Once they're healthy, they're going to be playing at a very, very, very high caliber. The problem is they've already lost too many. But, I mean, it is conceivable that they will blow through this conference. But
there is zero excuse for this New Mexico State team to not win every game, including the conference tournament in this league.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Once they're back at full strength.
The only other team that if you look at these numbers here, is any good is Cal Baptist, and they're not eligible. So.
Yeah, they're not. So, I mean, they should blow through it. The Grand Canyon has been utterly disappointing. Kansas City is 5-7, which is a lot better than we thought they'd be. I mean, nobody in this league is on their level.
It's a good thing the buzzer is broken because we would have had to buzz Chad for that Cal Baptist reference.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's California Baptist. Thank you. Thank you.
My
apologies, Lancers fan. It does say on the screen California Baptist.
They watch the show. Baptist. Anyway.
And there's the upcoming schedule. But on that note, why don't we run over to our top 10 list?
Okay.
For December 22nd. We've got a few honorable mentions here. Going out to Akron, Belmont, Arkansas State, App State, Rider, and even New Mexico State getting one.
Yeah, getting a vote. My vote, I think.
Number 10, we've got Wright State, the new leaders in the best team in the Horizon League. Mm-hmm. At number 9, we got Louisiana Tech, the team that I'm starting to come around with you guys on as well. I do think they may end up being the best USA team at the end of the day. At 8, we got Kent State.
Yeah, despite a bad week, but still number 8.
At number 7 is Yale. Nice.
Yale,
nice
man, way up. Yeah. Okay. Way up there.
Furman coming at 6.
Ooh, yeah, I like that Furman team.
That's probably a little bit of a leap of faith, though.
Yeah, but we're going to have, and as we should, 3 SoCon teams in the top 6.
And there's another one right above them is UNC Greensboro. Above them, Stephen F. Austin out of the Southland Conference, the team we were just talking about. East Tennessee State, that's our 3rd SoCon team in the top 6, so that talks about how strong the SoCon is looking. Number 2, we've got Liberty.
Liberty falling despite being undefeated.
Being undefeated, I had them number 1. 2 other people on this podcast had them number 2.
I had them number 2.
I had this team number 2, but I think it's a coin flip, and maybe this team at the end of the day is a better team anyhow. But number 1,
like this Northern
is Iowa Ben Jacobson's Northern Iowa team, who is, I think, it's got the strong, may have the strongest at-large case at the end of the day, too, if they keep
playing the way they think. Winning a game at Colorado is honestly what pushed me to put a UNI number 1 the past couple weeks.
Right, and then Liberty, like, struggling to beat Vandy, who is not Colorado.
But they blew out Akron. That's what pushed them back to me, was we blew out Akron. Akron getting a little bit of votes way down here in the honorable mention category. Mm-hmm. But I guess on that note, let me pull this down here. Let's run for any final thoughts. And, John, let me start with you.
We mentioned earlier one of the reasons Wofford actually did get the number 7 seed last year. They ran the table in the SoCon, including the regular season and the conference tournament. That's going to be very difficult this year for either a team like East Tennessee State, a Furman, or UNC Greensboro to try to pull off, because we've seen Western Carolina and Wofford as two other potential noisemakers in that conference. So if they can somehow get to, let's say, 18-0 or 17-1, could this finally be the year we get the two-bid SoCon?
Yeah, you're right, though. The conference could be its own biggest problem in getting the at-large bid when these teams start.
Because last year, everything went perfect for Wofford, at least as far as the right teams winning in the conference.
Yeah, and you know, we didn't even mention Samford at the top of the show, who I still think is going to be competitive this season when we get to conference play. Chattanooga's played better than we thought they would. Mercer is always dangerous. So there's going to be some upsets during the season, which may hurt these at-large chances. I think that could happen, too. But, David, you want to finish things off?
Yeah, we've got 3 teams. Well, 2 in particular, but I'll go ahead and throw Northern Iowa in there. One is Liberty, and the other is Stephen F. Austin. That basically, with the exception of Liberty's game against LSU, that basically aren't going to play anybody in the top 250 the rest of the way. Everyone they're playing is in the bottom 100. And so what does that mean? If they win out and get high, like, are we going to see them win out and creep up into the national polls more and more and be inside the bubble? Or are we going to see them in a situation sort of like what we had with Murray State a few years ago when they were 28-4 nationally ranked, but only had 4 wins against the top 250 and the committee didn't take them? But it's just kind of interesting from under the radar perspective. You have 3 teams, the third being Northern Iowa, that are basically grossly, not just undermatched, but way undermatched the entire rest of the way. And, like, how is that going to play out if those 3 teams win out? Is it possible that all 3 of them are in the top 25?
It could be. I mean, the way the top 25 is bouncing around all season so far, too. But I guess on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. We will be back again tomorrow night for one more show before the holidays. But David, can you remind everybody what Christmas Day is really all about?
Well, I mean, sometimes, especially with us, like, you get into the day-to-day grind and the day-to-day activity and you forget about what's really important. And Christmas, it's a time to just kind of step back and remember the things in your life that are really important. And what is important on Christmas Day is the Diamond Head Classic.
Okay. But this year, you have to remember, we're ending it with Christmas, but we're actually beginning it with the first day of Hanukkah, so everyone's celebrating out there. Happy Hanukkah
another reason to watch the Diamond Head.
Yes, so Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Whatever other holidays
I don't say Merry Christmas. I mean, there's a war on the Diamond Head Classic.
Okay. On that note, though, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. And we'll be back again with another Under the Radar sometime towards the end of next week, probably about 10 or 12 days away from now. Mm-hmm. And Hoops HD Report tomorrow night. Have a good night, everyone.